أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين، إنه خير ناصر ومعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. My respected elders, brothers, sisters in Islam and Iman, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah for the blessings that He has bestowed upon us, that we can be here in the house of Allah to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remind ourselves of our important obligations and our commitment to the cause of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Yesterday we discussed one of the roles of the Imam. The Imam alayhi salam is like the sun behind the clouds that still offers so much to the earth despite being covered by that cloud. One of the things that the Imam alayhi salam offers us is that he is a source of deflecting bala from reaching us, deflecting calamities and misfortunes from reaching us. But yet we find that Muslims, the Shi'as, we are tried. We have trials and difficulties. And we said that that's part of our being here. Part of being in this world is to be tried and to go through these trials in order to attain perfection. Now, what I want to talk about today is how to deal with difficult situations that come up. Obstacles, trials. Because it's supposed to be the case that when we have difficulties that come up, they shouldn't shatter us. They should be things that come up. Sometimes we cry, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're worried. But overall, we should keep on marching towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going through our life and dealing with them. We're supposed to be able to still enjoy our lives and lead fulfilling lives of quality. Not that things happen and they shatter us and we become depressed individuals. But unfortunately we find that in the America we're living right now, in the Muslim community, the trials that they're facing are a source of depression and a source of them becoming despondent and losing hope. Let me just give you some statistics. About 25% of Arab adults interviewed in the Detroit area, you know the Detroit area is the largest concentration of Arab Americans in the United States. 25% of them reported some sort of abuse after 9/11. And even in my limited travels among the communities, when I talk to the kids and the youth, they tell me that, yeah, in school it's something that's common. Like we face people, you know, taunting us, they make fun of us. At least one person, you know, says something. And that was something that we didn't have to face in the past. Islamophobia is on the rise, and that's something that causes people to be worried. More than 500,000 American Muslims have been interrogated by the FBI. And you might say, well, what's the big deal? Just talking to somebody from the FBI. No, it's a big deal. It's stress, it's distress. It has lasting effects on somebody. Before they used to be active members, active donors. And after that visit, suddenly you don't see them anymore. It's a cause of trial, it's a difficulty. And these sorts of things, the Islamophobia, the prejudice, the the type of rhetoric that's being thrown out in certain political circles against Muslims, what sort of effect is it creating in the Muslims and the youth? According to one survey, a recent survey by Gallup, 26% of young Muslims said that they experience anger versus 14% of young Protestants and Mormons. So, and the Muslim youth were the most troubled, the most distressed out of all the different youth groups surveyed. And among Muslim youth aged 18 to 28, among the youth aged 18 to 28, it's the Muslims who are the least happy and the most angry. But why is that the case? We're told in hadith, this is a very beautiful hadith we have from our sixth Imam alayhi salam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. This is one of those hadith, by the way, that I came across like in my early years of the Hawza, and it really struck me as to how practical the teachings are of the Ahlul Bayt, how they can really make a difference in our day-to-day lives. What does Imam Sadiq alayhi salam say? He says that, "Man asbaha ala dunya hazina, faqad asbaha ala rabbihi sakhita." Somebody who wakes up in the morning and is angry at his... somebody who wakes up in the morning and he is sad, he's in a state of grief, that person is angry, is to be considered as being angry at his Lord. And the person who wakes up in the morning complaining about the difficulties that he's facing, that person is complaining to his Lord. فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُو رَبَّهُ. So you see here, it's a very practical thing. If we want to see what is the level of our iman, and how are we dealing with this great struggle which is called life, and this test and our experience here in this world, let's ask ourselves, when you wake up in the morning, what sort of feeling do we have? Do we feel that spiritual energy, that desire and that raghbah and that shawq to be connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do we wake up and is it the troubles of this world that flood our minds? Are we more worried about the report that we have to file, the exam we have to take, that business meeting we have to make? Or are other thoughts occupying our mind? Thoughts about our hereafter, our eventual destination, perfection, goodness. This is the ideal that the Ahlul Bayt have envisioned for us, that the difficulties that we have shouldn't throw us down and just keep us on the ground. We should get up and be ready to keep on fighting. Don't misinterpret the hadith. Somebody who wakes up in the morning and they're sad about difficulties that are facing them, but the sadness does not take them away from Allah. There's no problem with that. That's okay. Sometimes we can be shedding tears over what happened. We're feeling angry over what somebody did to us. Or we're feeling sad. But that sadness and the anger, that doesn't take us away from Allah. There's no problem with that. But if it's a case that it's a type of sentiment and emotion and depression and grief that takes us away from Allah, we have a problem. So what are some teachings that we have from the Ahlul Bayt that will give us some advice that will let us deal with difficulties? Because we are in a difficult time, whether we like it or not. If it's the case that we're not being tried, then we have to worry and ask, well, what's wrong? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't putting me in this test? And if we are facing these tests, what are some things that we can do to deal with them in the best way possible? Please say salawat ala Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, in order to help us understand some of the advice we have from the Qur'an and the Ahlul Bayt, I should mention that there's a large body of teachings about this very point. You know, how is it that you can deal with difficult situations? And I'm just going to mention, you know, the tip of the iceberg on the issue. Some of the things I felt would be appropriate for this format, but there's a lot of teachings, alhamdulillah, practical teachings about how to deal with life. I want to frame this in the context of a story from the Qur'an. And it's a story of a prophet by the name of Yunus alayhi salam. The story of Nabi Yunus is a story which can help us understand how to deal with challenges in our lives. Nabi Yunus was a prophet of Allah who was preaching to his people for many years, but the people did not take his message except for a few. And Nabi Yunus would warn them and tell them that if you do not take the message, then be aware that eventually the punishment of Allah will come to you. But the people did not listen to him, except for a few. Eventually it came to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided apparently to destroy these people for turning away from the message of the Prophet. And he was going to do so in the form of an incredible weather event, meaning that a cloud which was going to, you know, destroy them with its rain or with its with the lightning, whatever it may be, had gotten near to the people and was about to come over them. And when Nabi Yunus alayhi salam saw this happen, then he left his people. He left. Why did he leave? He left because he was angry at them. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذنوني. وذنون is the name, a name of Yunus. وذنوني إذ ذهب مغاضبا. When he left his people angry at them. Some commentators say, نعوذ بالله, from other schools of thought, that Nabi Yunus was angry at Allah. But that can't be the case. Nabi Yunus was a prophet, he was ma'asum. He was angry at his people because he was sad for them. Like, all this effort of spreading the truth, they weren't willing to accept it. He left. But my brothers and sisters, he left without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah didn't give him permission to leave. He was a prophet, he was commissioned with the task to guide these people, and he left prematurely. And actually what happens when he leaves is that his disciples, the ones who did take his message, they start last minute preaching to the people and saying that your prophet has left you, don't you see the punishment of Allah is coming? And the people realize the truth at that point. So they say that let's do something to see if we can avert the punishment of Allah. So they begin to sincerely repent and ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah in His mercy withdraws those clouds of punishment for them. And it's a reminder for us, my brothers and sisters, that it's never too late to repent to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doors of mercy are open wide, especially during this month. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam leaves his people. Now, how is it that the Qur'an describes him leaving? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Safat, إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. When Nabi Yunus alayhi salam did something called abaqa. Abaqa in Arabic is the word used for a slave who runs away from his master. A slave who runs away from his master was known as an abiq. And in that society in which the Quran was revealed, it was well known that in the times of Jahiliyyah, that a slave who would run away from his master would never be given protection, would never be given a home anywhere else. Because if other slaves saw that a runaway slave was being taken in and protected, then they would do the same thing. So a runaway slave has no place to turn to except for his master. The Quran uses the word, he's like a slave who ran away from his master. Now a few points here, brothers and sisters. You see here Nabi Yunus alayhi salam left angry at his people. Now there's a lesson here for us. Oftentimes people, when they're faced with difficult situations, they get angry, but they get angry at their Lord. They say that, oh Allah, you're the one who's all merciful, you're the one who's all kind and compassionate, why are you giving me these difficult things? And they start to complain against Allah. They start thinking bad thoughts about Allah. Na'udhu billah, it might even turn to kufr and denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like in the best of times and the most happiest of times, sometimes people turn away from Allah, like weddings. Sometimes when people are in the pits and they're facing difficulty, that's when they turn away from Allah as well too. But the pattern of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam was that when difficulties would descend, they wouldn't turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they would praise Allah because they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who operates on the basis of wisdom and justice. Allah would not afflict us anything that is going to be something that's not fair, that we don't deserve. And we're told in hadith that whenever the Prophet, when something, he would face a situation that would distress him, that would cause grief for him, what would he say? He would say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. All praises due to Allah over whatever happens, whatever transpires. All praises due to Allah. That's the type of spirit that we should have when we're faced with difficulties. Now, Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, as we said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as a slave who has run away from his master. Meaning that he had a responsibility. His responsibility was that he was supposed to be with the people until Allah tells him when to leave. He was judging when to leave and not to leave based on the people themselves rather than on the commandment of Allah. And this was a mistake. This was an action contradictory to the action of a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a lesson in that for us, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be, He wants to take us towards perfection when we're in this world. And one way of doing so is by giving us laws and commandments and telling us to act accordingly. And the pressure of doing so, it's not easy. It's not easy to be a practicing Muslim in this society, fully practicing. And my salutations, especially to the sisters who are able to be out there with the Islamic dress representing Islam in such a beautiful way. My hat goes down to them. My hat's off for them. But the point is, brothers and sisters, that itself is a form of test and trial. And we're told in hadith, if somebody is committed to practicing and they're watchful over themselves, then generally speaking, they won't face trials of the other sort. They won't face great difficulties and calamities of the other sort. Not all the time. Sometimes people will face those as well too. And for example, there's a select few, like the elite, who will face those because they're special people that Allah has chosen to raise to the highest levels. Like when we look at the trials and the calamities of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we shouldn't imagine, na'udhu billah, that was on account of their sins or something. No. That was because Allah had chosen them for the highest levels of paradise. But generally speaking, when people are following their orders, according to their level, they're doing what Allah asks for them, they won't face other calamities. But when they fall short on the responsibilities of being a slave of Allah, that's when Allah will give them some test in order to take them back into the fold. Remind them that, wait a minute, you're my slave and you should act as such. So brothers and sisters, what we're told is that if it's the case that we face a difficulty and a challenge comes up for us, then the first thing we should do is turn to ourselves and ask ourselves, what is it that I've done wrong that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to pay attention to and wants me to correct within myself? The Quran describes this. It says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Whatever evil thing or bad thing happens to you, it's from yourself. So we should look within ourselves. What is it in my actions? What is it in my akhlaq, my behavior, that Allah wants me to pay attention to? And usually we'll find something. We'll find something that is the cause for Allah reminding me that, wait a minute, I'm His slave. I'm supposed to be acting at a higher standard than I'm acting. And when we find that thing, we should repent and take whatever steps necessary in order to amend what's wrong. If we don't find anything, then we should make a general dua and say to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me for whatever I have done to transgress any of your rights on me. And then be patient, and eventually, inshallah, that affliction will be lifted. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam goes to the ocean side and he decides to board a boat and leave that town. Leave it behind. He wants nothing to do with it. And as the ship sets journey on the sea and it goes off into the distance, eventually it gets to the point where the water becomes stormy. And the ship begins to move to and from, rock back and forth, until it gets to the point where suddenly they realize that the ship is too heavy, because it had goods that they had taken for trading, and it had a lot of people on it as well too. It's too heavy. And they realize that the only way that the ship can stay afloat is if one of the people is going to be thrown overboard. Now, the analogy here, my brothers and sisters, is very powerful. Because when we're going about our normal lives and everything is smooth sailing for us, we don't have any major difficulties that we're facing, it's very easy for us to forget about God and His importance in our lives. It's only when the ship becomes a little bit disturbed and the boat begins to rock, that's when we have the opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to connect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is that, brothers and sisters? Because imagine that you're out in the middle of the ocean in a boat and you're faced with that difficulty. What are you going to turn to? What is there that's going to save you? Are you going to turn to your iPhone? Right? What are you going to call? Right? Are you going to turn to your family? They're not with you. You're alone in the middle of an in a boat in the middle of the ocean. Are you going to turn to, your insurance, your life insurance policy, right there to save you, right? Call 911. No, it's just you, and you realize that, wait a minute, I need to turn to something else. All these things that I've been relying on, who is it that governs them and guides them, and is responsible for giving them whatever they have? That's when we can face and turn and really feel the presence of Allah in our lives. And that's the way that when we face difficulties, when we're cut off from all these other channels, that's when we can see Allah. After all, if you go to somebody and you complain about difficulties that you have, sometimes the most they can tell you is that, you know what, I really feel for you. I really feel sad about it. I'll pray for you. You know? But beyond that, what are they going to do? You know, what can we do to really solve your situation? There's only one entity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can really take care of the problems that we have. So these tests and trials that we have, they should be a way of our turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. They draw lots to see who is going to be tossed out of the boat. They draw lots. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam's lot is drawn. And they say that we can't throw him overboard because he's the most pious and the most perfect among us. So again, they draw it again. And again, it's his lot that's picked. Again, they do it a third time, and it's his lot that's picked. So then Nabi Yunus alayhi salam is now being prepared to be thrown overboard. He's facing a difficult situation here. He's thrown overboard into the water. And you can imagine now that, you know, he's there, you know, drowning in this water. Suddenly a whale comes up and swallows him. And the whale plunges into the bottom of the ocean and he's not to be seen. And the Quran describes this. وَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. ظُلُمَات means he was in multiple levels of darkness. He was in dire situation. Sometimes it's not just one calamity that hits us. Suddenly it's our bank account and our job and our family and our health. Everything just piles on top of one another. He was in multiple levels of darkness. The darkness of the sea, the darkness of the night, and the darkness of being in the belly of the whale. Now what does he do in this situation? فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَّهَ إِلَّا أَنْتْ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. In this situation, Nabi Yunus' example is an example for us. He turns to Allah and he starts to glorify Him. And he admits his own shortcomings. He realizes that he had done something contrary to the dictates of what a slave should be doing. So this is what Allah wants of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah An'am, verse number 43, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَدَرَّعُوا. If only when difficulties came upon them, if they had turned to us and treated us and pleaded to us. That's what Allah wants from us. He wants us to pray to Him. He wants us to turn to Him. Sometimes people say that, okay, why is it that I faced this difficulty? I didn't make a single dua. You know, I just went along with my life. And eventually it passed. Why are you saying that we need to turn to Allah? Yes, it's true that eventually the course of time will take care of difficulties. But imagine how much we've lost out in the meantime. That was an opportunity that now is gone, it won't come back again. We could have taken that and turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, Nabi Yunus alayhi salam is rescued from that calamity. He's taken to the ocean side and the whale is commanded to deliver him there. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him for his patience. How does He reward him? He rewards him with the glad tidings that his people have not been destroyed, and in fact, they have become believers. Imagine the delight of a teacher, of a guide, who was working for so many years, for him to know that eventually the teachings were accepted by the people, and they took the message. What better gift could he have than that? There's a message in that for us as well, my brothers and sisters. And we're told in hadith, when somebody asked, one of the companions asks the sixth Imam alayhi salam, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not punish the people of Yunus? The Imam alayhi salam responds. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan. All this whole thing was a plan related to Nabi Yunus alayhi salam himself. He says that أَرَادَ أَنْ يَفْرُغَهُ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. Allah wanted Nabi Yunus alayhi salam to be alone, to separate from the people so that he could worship Him earnestly and sincerely in the belly of the whale. And as a result, Allah could heap upon him even more reward and more nobility. We shouldn't think that events that take place and transpire in our lives are somehow random. No, Allah has, there's a design, there's wisdom behind them. And through these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some purpose for why we have to go through these. The important thing is that we have to understand what is our responsibility. Brothers and sisters, we said that we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing we can also do is in times of difficulty, turn to the Ahlul Bayt and the Imam of our time. The Ahlul Bayt, according to dua, are Al-Kahf Al-Haseen وغياث المضطر المستقيم, that cave of solace that will protect anybody who is looking for protection, that the place to turn to for those who are in distress are the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. I want to end with a story which I think inshallah will be inspiring for us and help us to understand how to connect with our Imam in times of difficulty. One time there was a young man who goes to the Prophet of Allah and tells him, asks him, he says, "O Prophet of Allah, I want to commit zina. Do you give me permission to commit zina?" Some act of sexual deviancy. And this is something, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, is one of the challenges that we're facing, especially the young people in our society. The companions are taken aback and they want to take this young man and throw him out of the house of the Prophet for his insolence. But the Prophet in his mercy says, "No, keep him here. Let him be here." The Prophet asks him, he says that, "If somebody were to do something like that to your mother, would you be happy?" The youth says that, "No, I wouldn't be happy." Prophet says, "Well, the same way people aren't happy if you were to do something like that." Prophet asks him, "If somebody were to do that, something like that with your daughter, if you had one, would you be happy with that?" "No." "The same way people aren't happy if you were to do that with their daughter. If you had a sister, and somebody were to do that, something like that with your sister, would you be happy?" "No," the youth says. "The same way people are unhappy if you were to do something like that with their sisters." Then the Prophet goes to him, brothers and sisters. See, this is, if we turn to the Ahlul Bayt, Prophet goes to him, puts his hand on his chest and makes a dua. And in his dua, he tells Allah, "Oh Allah, protect him from this sin." And afterwards we're told that that sin of zina was the most distasteful sin in the eyes of that youth. Brothers and sisters, when we're faced with challenges and the pressures of the society, let's turn to the Ahlul Bayt. If the Prophet could do that to the youth, why isn't it that the Imam of our time, the living of Imam of our time, could not have special attention on us and treat us in a similar way? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help to remove all the difficulties from the mu'mineen and mu'minat. May He help us to understand the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, apply them, and then spread them to others. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.